T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From MMQB, he's at the meetings in Arizona where they just announced a big rule change yesterday. The Haslam's talked and a whole lot more. Albert Breer is with us. Albert, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
You all right? Albert sounds tired. You sound like you're
Oh, I am. I'm a little tired, Justin. You know how these go.
What, yeah. What are you, 3 hours or 2 hours behind?
I'm 3 hours behind. I think we're on Pacific time. Yeah, it's like 11:30.
Yeah, you just woke up.
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment.
Hey, Albert, we were just talking about the new rule, and I guess the concern is, like, I love the idea of why not have a ninth referee that's the sky judge in the booth. They're one of the officials. You don't even think about it like replay, and that person's in the booth looking at every play, 30 seconds max, and correcting egregious calls of any kind, no matter what they are. Instead, they've gone this huge step of all this review, and now we may have ticky-tack pass interference calls on Hail Marys. Who knows? What do you think about this whole thing?
I think it's a step, and I think that's the way the coaches saw it, too. And if you want to look, you know, at what they did in their process, I think you have to give them credit. I mean, they really sunk time into trying to get this right. The coaches did. And, you know, they were, I mean, frustrated yesterday in that their original proposal wasn't going to be voted on. That was sort of an issue. They put together a proposal that would have included not only defensive and offensive pass interference, but also roughing the passer penalties and the defenseless player penalties. And it would have involved the replay official for the entire game and not just the final 2 minutes. And so this really is a step. And the coaches that I talked to yesterday about it said, you know, they were happy that something got in the books that expanded replay, and they still have hope that what they voted on and what they voted through 32-0 is eventually going to become the rule, you know, and it's going to be that way down the road. And they also recognize that on replay there are a lot of owners that move very, very slowly and that take their time on this sort of thing. And so, you know, I think that this represented a compromise, because that's the way the league is.
You know, Albert, Goodell spoke and said, he used the words, the challenge. And the coaches love the challenge. And they seem to be moving more and more towards allowing more things to be challengeable. Is that where we're headed? I mean, do we think this is, you say this is a start, it's a step. Well, how far do we go?
Yeah, I mean, it's been discussed for a long time now. I mean, I think Belichick, as far as, like 8-9 years ago, was proposing that everything be challengeable, you know, and that was sort of like this has been on the table for a while. The idea that they would broaden what's challengeable, and I know there are some coaches that feel like everything should be challengeable, and so this is a pretty big step in that direction for two reasons, right? Like, the first reason is this involves judgment calls, and the second reason is this involves penalties, and. You know, we hadn't seen that before in the challenge system. And so even though it's just those two things, right, offensive and defensive pass interference, it does, you know, represent breakthroughs on two different fronts. And I think at least opens the door for more discussion down the line and making this thing a little bit broader in what they can challenge.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, lots of other things to get to. Earlier this week, the league announced that this season would open with Thursday Night Football, Bears and Packers, and that the Patriots would host the Sunday Night Football game.
Yep.
Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the Browns being a hot commodity right now, that every network wants a little piece of them. Do you think there's a good chance that the Browns will open either in New England on Sunday night or as one of those two Monday night games?
Yeah, and there's a pretty decent chance that happens. I don't think it happened in New England. New England's got a pretty good home schedule. I believe Kansas City's on there, Dallas is on there. And obviously, they've got their division teams. There are a lot of good options if you look at New England's home schedule for that Sunday night opener. And I also think the idea of Baker Mayfield as this rising young quarterback going up against the greatest of all time and Tom Brady, that's something that'd be appealing almost anywhere on the calendar, you know. And sometimes they hold games like that back. And so right now, I wish I could tell you where these things are going to land, but if I had to bet on it, I would tell you the Browns are probably going to be playing on one of those Monday night slots, and the Patriots maybe play somebody like the Chiefs or the Cowboys.
Okay.
So it'd be late. Yeah.
That'd be cool if the Browns. There's been some talk about maybe Browns Jets.
I mean, look, put it this way.
Yeah.
Patriots Browns is going to be on a big stage. It's just a matter of what stage that is.
Right.
And I think because of all the interesting storylines there, I don't think the league season is necessary to put it on that Sunday night opener stage to make it any bigger, because it's going to be big wherever they put it.
True.
Albert, yesterday Freddie Kitchens spoke, talked about, you know, he has not met Odell Beckham Jr. yet, and he talked about how he hoped that Odell would be in Cleveland on Monday for their beginning of their offseason workouts, and obviously that changes Odell's plans because he wasn't supposed to report until middle of April with the Giants. Do you think that Odell will be here? I said if he's not, I'll be a little concerned.
At the very least, Dustin, he needs to work that out with the team. I think that part of it, as long as he can work out, you know, a schedule with the team, I think you're okay. A lot of guys do this now, and I think it would be great if he's there. The problem would come if he's just sort of coming and going as he wants, which was, I mean, sort of the case 2 years ago with the Giants. Last year, he came and went, you know, a few times, but he was always keeping Pat Shurmur apprised of what was going on. And so it really wasn't that much of a problem for the Giants. I think you want him in the building as much as you possibly can have him in the building right now. I think he'd love to be able to go to training camp with, you know, just a good idea of how he fits in with the locker room and him having a rapport with other guys. Ideally, you have him there for everything over those 10 weeks. But if he's going to be in LA for this week or that week for this reason or that reason, as long as he works that out with Freddie Kitchens and the communication between, you know, him and the team is good, I don't think it's that big a deal.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. We were talking about this yesterday. The Browns really get a great advantage here, Albert, because all the new coaches get to have, you know, off-season activities start April 1st as opposed to the returning coaches at April 15th. But the Browns are the only team that has a new coach, but that coach has already been here.
Right.
Right? So it's almost like they're getting an advantage that no other team has.
Right, and we've seen that in the past. I mean, there have been coaches that have been promoted from within. But, yeah, I think it absolutely gives you an advantage. And I said 10 weeks. It's actually 12, right, because it could be extra 2 weeks.
Right.
As a result of having a new coach. I mean, that part of it's big, especially when you got a second-year quarterback. I mean, as much as we're going to talk about Odell and Jarvis and all the young pieces on defense and everything like that, this is still very much about the development of the quarterback, and so much hinges on how he makes the leap from year one to year two. And, you know, I think any coach that you talk to who's worked with a really good young quarterback would tell you that off season is so important. You know, that off season between year one and year two. I mean, we saw the leap that Carson Wentz made. We saw the leap that Jared Goff made. If you do that right, you can make huge gains going from year one to year two. And so every little bit helps in that effort. And I think having the extra 2 weeks, you know, if you want to talk about the biggest advantage it gives you, I think it's having 2 extra weeks of your quarterback working in the building.
Albert Breer is with us, MMQB. He's in Arizona at the league meetings. Albert, the Haslam spoke last night, and D Haslam spoke as well, and it was fascinating that they had they'd met with Kareem Hunt before they gave the go ahead to John Dorsey to sign Kareem, and that's new. That's news to us, and that was kind of big. Yeah. I think because it shows they did a little bit of work. And before they allowed Dorsey to sign him.
Yeah, the investment there from the owners to do that, I think, is important. You know, and it just shows that it's not haphazard what they did. Look, I mean, we hear from every team that they do their research on this or they do their research on that. You always have to take those sort of with a grain of salt, you know, because there are moves that some teams make that are, you know, deeply researched. And, you know, like you go to this expert and that expert and try to figure out what's going on. I think with this one, you at least know, John Dorsey was a part of scouting the kid, evaluating the kid. all of that different stuff, and ultimately helping draft the kid. And so he has the background on him. Of course, now with Jimmy and Dee Haslam, that gives you another layer, at least where they have a better idea of what they're getting themselves into.
Albert, I guess my only concern with Dorsey, right, is like, some of the guys at Kansas City were an issue. Now there's an issue with Tyreek Hill, already Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
The Browns are talking, another player today, and his name just escaped me. The kid who's having his workout today, defensive lineman who had a physical abuse accusation in the past.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you, Jeffrey Simmons. With some of the questionable character guys, he seems to take chances on. That's the only thing that has me a little nervous. Should we be nervous about that?
Yeah, I think it's fair to be nervous about that. We've seen those sorts of things blow up in teams' faces before. I don't think you can win with 53 choir boys. That's just not the way football works. Dustin, you know better than I do.
Yeah.
Locker rooms need edge. Locker rooms need guys. I heard from different players that how having a little crazy in your locker room can really help, So it's always a balancing act when you're putting together a team. And the one thing with Dorsey that you look at, you mentioned it, in Kansas City, he was around Andy Reid. And, he sort of learned to be a general manager with Andy Reid as his head coach. And Andy Reid's been a huge second-chance guy over the course of his career, going back to bringing in guys like T.O. and Michael Vick in Philadelphia. And so, at the very least, John Dorsey's seen that work in the past, and he's seen how Andy's handled that in the past. And those haven't always worked out for Andy. T.O. didn't work out for Andy. Obviously, the Tyreek Hill thing now, we'll see where that one goes. But they've always got, that's always been part of who Andy is he gives guys second chances, whether they're veteran players or rookies. And so it's not altogether surprising to see John Dorsey rolling the dice in the same sort of way. What you do when you do that is you're putting pressure on your coach, on your coaching staff to manage all of that stuff. And so you bring in a big personality like an Odell Beckham. You bring in a guy with a pass like Kareem Hunt. Ultimately, on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be up to the coaches to manage that. And, this would seem to be a vote of confidence in Freddie Kitchens and that coaching staff. I would think that, with John building the team as he had and taking some of the risks that he had, he had to think about that as a factor when he was deciding who to hire a few months ago.
Albert, is Gronk really retired?
Here's the thing, right? I'm not ruling it out. Did he come back? I think there are two sides to this, okay? So one side of it is, I think a huge part of why he retired is how hard last year was, right? Last year was really, really difficult on him. And, that's 6-7 months you're looking at as a player. And I think the idea of doing that again was just I think it was intimidating almost to look at the idea of going through what he went through the last couple of years again in 2019 and just decide he didn't need that anymore. But does the equation change if now all of a sudden it's November and they call you, and instead of it being 6 or 7 months, it's 6 or 7 weeks of the regular season left plus playoffs? That could sort of change the equation for him. Now, the flip side of this, guys, he's going to probably have a really good time over the next few months. A really, really good time.
Oh, yeah.
To do whatever the hell he wants. And, it certainly could be, for a guy who's been in this for, his entire adult life, it certainly could be this eye-opening experience where he's like, I'm having a blast. This is awesome. Why would I want to go back to grinding through a back injury or a knee injury or whatever? Why would I want to do that again? So I think there are both sides to that. You could get to November and it could be, I can manage 2 or 3 months. I didn't want to do 6 or 7 months, but I can manage 2 or 3 months. Or, he's having such a good time, in his time away from the game, but he decides, why would I want to do that again? And the one other thing I would mention there, the back isn't a non-issue. I mean, he had the disc issue in 2018. I know, one of the things that's sort of lingering out there, the idea that he could have a fourth back surgery and what that could mean for him later in life. I mean, that's a real life thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sure. That's when you're 50 or 60 years old, are you going to be able to move? And I know that's something that not only Gronk, but his whole family is cognizant of.
Albert, last thing. I don't understand what Cliff Kingsbury's doing. Forget the cell phone thing, which we're going to talk about later. But the other thing here with the quarterback situation, right? The way they have made it so obvious they like Kyler Murray has hurt Josh Rosen's trade value. And if you say, I heard somebody today say, well, maybe they're just building it up to raise the value of the first overall pick. But the moment the Cardinals talk to somebody about trading that first pick, that team would know they were not being genuine about Murray, and so why would the price go up? Because if they're willing to trade that first pick, then they don't love Murray as much as they're saying. I don't understand what they're doing here.
Well, but how much of that's their fault? I mean, it's their fault that they had the first pick because they weren't very good last year. But the coach keeps talking about it, though, Albert.
Let's just say they genuinely haven't decided.
Let's take what's close to the base value. Okay. Let's just say they genuinely haven't decided yet. Well, I mean, I think on one end, you know, you want to make sure that you don't deflate the value of the pick.
Yep.
Right. Like, and so that means showing affection to Kyler Murray. You know, on the other end, you don't want to kill Josh Rosen's trade value. So, you know, you want to keep the option open that, like, you know, you could take him. And it's just, there's a lot going on there, and it's a very unique situation. And I think it's a unique situation because I do believe that Cliff genuinely does really like Kyler Murray. And he, I mean, I talked to Lincoln Riley about this, and Lincoln played with Cliff at Texas Tech and coached against him the last 4 years. And Lincoln told me that Kyler is a perfect fit for Cliff's offense. And so I think that's genuine. Like, I think that part of it's there. I think the one thing that was kind of crappy that happened is when, you know, Kime got up at the combine and said that he's Josh our quarterback for now.
Right.
I think that put Josh Rosen in a really difficult spot and probably wasn't fair to him. But as for the other stuff, I mean, I just think it's a unique, different situation that is a little difficult to manage. And I don't think that's really Cliff's fault. I think it's just if you're trying to keep your options open and make a decision that ultimately is probably going to decide how long you're going to be there, right? Because if you get the quarterback right, you'd be there for 15 years. If you get the quarterback wrong, you're probably going to be fired in 3.
Yep.
I think it's the right thing to do is to, you know, basically leave everything open and leave everything on the table, and that's what they've done.
Thanks, Albert. We appreciate it.
Sorry, you got it, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.